there's no place like home for the holiday.
Goblins lurking in shadows, edge haunting, whispers creep through the trees, yeah, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns and chilling dread, ghostly figures dance through the breeze, yeah, yeah. Spirits roam the night, terrors deny. Halloween's spectacular fear ignites. With every corner's turn, shadows yearn for screams and chills in the
Welcome back to another episode of Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Caleb.
And I'm...
And you're Jeff Searcy.
Still Jeff Searcy, yeah.
And I know people are like, wow, who's this Caleb? Who's this new guy Caleb? Well, Caleb is me. I've always been Caleb. Because when I met Tom Atkins a couple weeks ago, went, shook his hand, got an autographed copy of The Fog.
Yeah,
got my picture taken, and then and introduced myself as Jay. And as I was leaving, he said, "It was nice meeting you, Caleb." And you know, if Tom Atkins says my name is Caleb,
I mean, at that point, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean,
you're Caleb now.
Yeah, I'm Caleb. I'm, at least as far as Tom Atkins is concerned, my name is Caleb, and this is Horror for the Holidays, Halloween Spooktacular.
The 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, Jay?
Caleb, but yes.
Wait a minute. So is there, was Jay never real?
No, Jay's real just in any movie from this point forward, anytime it's a Tom Atkins movie.
Oh. Okay.
I'm Caleb.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't like living in like a long stroke seizure or something. Or I was imagining somebody named Jay Logs.
I don't know Caleb's last name. Caleb's just Caleb. But as far as Tom Atkins is concerned, my name is Caleb. I was walking away and literally he just goes, "Nice meeting you, Caleb." And I was like, okay, sir.
I love that. That makes me love Tom Atkins even more.
So.
Oh, you know what, Jay? I bet if you were a 20-year-old woman, he probably would have remembered your name.
Oh, undoubtedly. Instead, I'm just a hairy, bearded, fat guy.
Aren't we all?
He's like, all these hairy, bearded, fat guys all look the same. I'm just going to call them all Caleb.
You are all Caleb now.
We are Caleb. You heard it on the last episode, but if you are a new listener, we're watching Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. That's why we're talking about Tom Atkins. So we're gonna carve the pumpkin.
Oh, crap. Well, should have been a little more clear, Jay, because I watched Nicolas Cage's Season of the Witch.
Oh, no.
So it's going to be difficult.
Is that a good one or a bad one?
I don't know. I like it. And it wasn't like a really popular movie.
Is it like Mandy era or is it?
It's before that.
Okay.
It's like mid-2000s. It's set in medieval Europe and they're escorting a woman who's accused of being a witch.
Okay.
To her trial at an abbey.
All right. Well, no, this one was released October 22nd, 1982.
Well, see. We're now, what are we going to do, Jay?
Written and directed by Tommy Lee Wallace. Screenplay, who was the screenplay and directed the Tim Curry It. Which was the probably the most exciting thing I saw on his IMDb page.
Well, and it was really written by three different people, but yeah. Only he was credited.
And it is he's also the voice of the Silver Shamrock commercial announcer. And is a ghost in the fog, and according to IMDb, was an uncredited Michael Myers in Halloween.
Well, I mean, he was essentially
like a right hand man. For
yeah, John Carpenter's like protege, production designer.
Uncredited writing credits for Nigel Neal and some guy named John Carpenter. Mm. I didn't recognize a lot of the stuff for Nigel Neal, but that John Carpenter guy, he's made some bangers. He's made some real solid movies.
Done some stuff, yeah.
Or, you know, if you're people online, he's made no good movies ever.
He's a horribly overrated director with no good movies.
Playing our lead, Daniel Chalice, is one Thomas Daddy Atkins, who we last saw in Maniac Cop, is Frank McRae, and we will see again in My Bloody Valentine 3D and maybe The Fog sometime.
We should do The Fog on Fog Day.
I love The Fog. Oh, it's so good. We've got a bunch of famous character actors in this movie, but not a lot of them are, you know, kind of in our purview, but I did find a couple. We've got Jonathan Terry as Starker, who We might see again as Colonel Glover if we ever do Return of the Living Dead for July. Well, July 3rd, but July 4th.
Yeah.
Dick Warlock returns. We last saw him last year as the Shape in Halloween 2 and as Clayton Heller in Pumpkinhead. But he plays an assassin in this movie.
He's the gray suit.
Some lady named Jamie Lee Curtis is the voice of the telephone operator and the curfew announcer in Santa Mira.
Say who now?
Yeah, who knows? I'm sure we'll never see her again.
Yeah, I thought you were supposed to be telling me famous people that were in this movie, Jay.
John Carpenter and Deborah Hill wanted Halloween to be an anthology series. This was the only one that is really that, but apparently there were ideas for other movies.
Yes, there was actually a plot on the table for a Halloween 4 that was going to be a ghost story.
And I heard, yeah, there was going to be, you know... And like other things that could have spun off in their own directions and kind of done their own things.
But if you love this movie, thank John Carpenter for it even existing, because he, in his contract for these Halloween movies, had the foresight to put in that he had Final Cut, and the studio wanted this movie's ending to be completely changed. And so he went to the director and he's like, "Do you want to change it?" And of course, Tommy Lee Wallace is like, "No, this is the movie I want to make." He's like, "Nope, fine. It's going through the way it is."
I can't. I assume they wanted some kind of happy ending.
Yes.
Or a less ambiguous ending.
Yes, they wanted a happy ending.
And no, the ending is perfect the way it is. If you don't know much about Halloween, but you do, you know, you're kind of aware of it, certainly about Halloween 3, you do know about the iconic masks, the pumpkin, the skeleton, and the witch. They were designed by Don Post, who's like Mr. Halloween, which I thought was very cool.
Yes.
Tagline, "The night no one comes home," which I thought was great.
I like that.
Budget, $4.6 million. Box office of $14.4 million.
Not as big of a hit as they were hoping for, but not like a complete disaster.
You feel like this day and age, that would have been enough to be like, you know what, we're going to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. Where back then they went, it didn't make enough money. Michael Myers, come back.
Well.
And that's what happens.
Apparently it's because, once again, Jay, the audience is stupid, as we so often find.
Right.
And apparently people are like walking out of this movie like, "No, Michael Myers, I want my money back." It's like, how about you just watch the movie?
Yeah, how about you watch the movie that's in front of you that, you know, the guy who invented Michael Myers wrote this, so clearly it must be good.
I mean, he did a rewrite. I mean, a famous British horror writer did the initial writing of it. So, I mean, if you're into horror, this is definitely a horror movie.
Yep. No, it's so good. We'll get into that. Where to watch... DVD copies through Scream Factory. I'm sure you can buy them other places.
Oh, yeah.
Streaming online. I watched it on Peacock.
It is skipped over, unfortunately, in a lot of the Halloween box sets, though.
I'm not surprised.
They skip from 2 to 4, so.
Of course they do. Personal experience, Jeff?
Well, initially, I had heard what everybody has always said, that it was a terrible movie, not worth watching. But eventually, when they were playing all of the Halloween movies on the Sci-Fi Channel during one spooktacular, I know, right?
Weird.
They stole our name, yeah. 20 years before we made the podcast.
Those assholes.
But I was just like, well, you know what? This year, I'm going to watch all the Halloween movies. And so I sat down and watched them all. And after watching Halloween 3, I was like, what was wrong with that? Because, of course, I went into it with no expectations.
Right, because, yeah, you've heard about how bad it is.
Yeah.
Kind of similar, like more the no expectations thing. I watched it on AMC, like when AMC would do their Halloween marathon. I think, I don't remember the exact order. I think they would do maybe 1 through 5 was kind of the order that they would show. But I also feel like maybe they would skip they would either skip 1 entirely, or they would skip 1 and 2 and just show 3, 4, and 5, or they would skip 2. They would show 1 and then do 3, 4 or 3, 4, 5 or something like that. But it had some kind of weird, like it wasn't always the same movies.
Well, I love that people try to say that this is the worst Halloween movie when Halloween Resurrection exists.
Or Halloween 2. Like, yes. you and I were kind of bored out of our minds with that one.
I mean, yeah, that is just... I'm sorry. I don't understand how people enjoy Halloween 2 so much. And even at the time, the box office drop-off was significant from 1 to 2.
But yeah, people want Michael Myers back. No more neat inventive ideas. Back to slasher movies. Well,
and I watched the Joe Bob review, as we often do when we're doing a movie he's already reviewed. And one of his lines really got me, where he was like, "Unfortunately for the future of cinema, this proved a box office flop." And I'm like, was that really a good thing for the future of cinema, though? Because we ended up getting endless Michael Myers entries that have gotten progressively worse over the years.
My wife's a big Michael Myers fan. She's not a huge Halloween 3 is her least favorite Halloween movie. Mm-hmm. And like a thing we've kind of talked about is she's like, you know, because I'm like, it's a good movie. It's a well-made movie. It's well-made. It's well-acted. It's a neat idea. Like I'm like, I don't know how you can't like this movie. And she's like, I don't like it because it's called Halloween and it's not a Michael Myers movie.
Mm.
Which I think that's, for a lot of people, I think that's the issue.
Well, I mean, there's, like I said, there's a lot of Halloween movies that have Michael Myers in them that are not great.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, at this point, I think there are more bad ones than good ones.
Oh, agreed. But yeah, anyway, that's kind of where we're at. Yeah,
that just kind of struck me. I'm like, I don't know if necessarily that is a good thing, because if they had gone ahead with John Carpenter's original idea, who knows what kind of cool Halloween movies we would have.
No, you know, Trick or Treat would kind of be a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Like you would have to think, or something like that.
Something like, yeah. I mean, there's any number of, like, Halloween has so many diverse stories you could tell under that umbrella, and to have it, like, brought to a big mainstream franchise, I think there could have been tons of great movies.
No, agreed.
Now we'll never know, because we have to watch Michael Myers stab people again.
Right.
Honestly, if that's all you wanted to do, then when his arc with Donald Pleasance ends, they should have just ended the series there.
But now gotta keep milking that cow.
Because it's like, without Dr. Loomis, it's just not the same.
But yeah, kind of circling back to it real fast, though. Yeah, I watched Halloween 3. Halloween 3, you know, and I loved it, and I loved the occasional references to Halloween sprinkled throughout the movie. You get the trailer for Halloween at one point in a bar. At another point, like, they're watching Halloween on TV. Yeah. And I just love that, like, those little, and that was my first experience with those little kind of Easter eggs, or, like, really noticing an Easter egg and like, being able to pick it out. Like, Michael Myers isn't even in Halloween 3. Disagree. He's in it for all of 30 seconds, but...
I was going to say, yeah, you could definitely catch him a couple times.
But yeah, I think that's like... But they don't call it Halloween. They're just like, the classic movie or something like that.
Well, and you could see, and at the end of the Silver Shamrock TV commercial, they also have Michael's mask bobbing on TV.
Oh, do they?
Yep.
Oh, man. I didn't even notice that. Oh, I'll have to go check that out. All right, well... Let's, you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
All right. We start right away with our title card. It's a 1982 computer designing a jack-o'-lantern on a screen.
Ooh.
And you get that, set music also done by John Carpenter. So you get that John Carpenter score.
I mean, the soundtrack is, as the kids say, a bop.
We get a scene of a bridge at night. Location is listed as Northern California. It's October, Saturday, the 23rd.
It's coming close.
A man in khaki pants and a blue button-down shirt runs away from a car that is chasing him. He has something orange tucked into his waistband. He runs into I almost thought it was an impound lot, but I think it's more like a car sales lot or something like that. And like starts pounding on doors for help. The car kind of stops and he hides. It drives past, but then kind of doubles back and pulls in. He's kind of ducking and trying to hide when he runs into a man in a suit who starts to strangle him. Our guy in the button down shirt is able to like pull loose like a cinder block that's like holding a car up. So like, you know, must have been the car was in neutral, luckily enough.
Yeah.
And rolls down and crushes the guy on top of him, like in between the two vehicles. And he's able to get away as someone else gets out of the car and kind of starts walking towards him.
These guys act very robotic.
No, there's nothing to that.
Almost emotionless killing machines.
We then get a thing 1 hour later, which I always love that. Like,
yes. Nick, you couldn't have gathered that on your own, could you?
We're at a gas station, and the attendant is watching the news and reading the paper. And on the TV, they're talking about the theft of one of the rocks from Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
Where the demons dwell.
And the banshees live, and they do live well.
That's all I could think of the whole time.
Yes.
A silver shamrock ad comes on the TV. The man in khaki pants then appears and tells the gas station attendant, "They're coming!" And he holds out the pumpkin, this pumpkin silver shamrock mask that we just saw on TV, and faints. The attendant loads him up into his tow truck and drives off to the hospital as a man in a suit watches from the shadows.
Oh.
Dr. Dan Chalice arrives at his ex-wife's house and gives his kids Halloween masks, but he's a chump. They've already got silver shamrock masks. They don't need the shitty masks that he bought for them.
Yeah, you stupid alcoholic dad.
the kids sing the silver shamrock song, and then they flip on the TV and watch the commercial in their masks.
Yes.
Dan gets a beeper notification and calls into work, where he has to report back because he is a doctor.
Yes, of course.
He arrives at work where the man in the blue button-down shirt who fainted has been admitted, and he's resting peacefully until a silver shamrock ad comes on the TV, and it wakes him up, and he starts saying, "They're going to kill us, all of us."
Spooky.
The suited man arrives at the hospital, and while Dr. Chalice is resting, the suited man walks in and crushes the skull of the guy with the mask with his bare hands.
Absolutely brutal kill.
Just like pinches his like face and his nose and just starts like crushing it in between his hands.
I love it.
It's so cool. And then he just like emotionlessly walks out of the room as the nurse kind of comes in to check on him. Mm-hmm. And she starts screaming, which alerts Dr. Chalice, who kind of runs in, sees the scene. And like the nurse is like, "That way, he went that way." And so he starts running down the hall after him, mm-hmm. past all these people. And he sees the man in the suit get into a car. And, you know, and he's yelling, he's like, hey, stop. And the guy dumps a bunch of gasoline on himself and then lights himself on fire, blowing up the car.
Completely emotionless while he's doing this.
So we now get an update. It's Sunday the 24th. The police are investigating the murder-suicide, and the man's daughter arrives to see her dad's body. That's kind of the only thing that happens on that day. Yep. We then shoot forward to Wednesday the 27th. Dr. Chalice is asking the coroner about the events, and she admits that the man in the suit pulled the guy's skull apart with his bare hands, which is pretty wild.
Yes.
It's also implied that maybe Dr. Chalice and Teddy, the coroner, have slept together at some point in time.
What?
Because, you know, no. Tom Atkins is the Riz King.
I was going to say, Tom Atkins sleeps with everybody he comes across, Jay.
Move over, Mike Lombardo. There's a new Riz King.
Exactly.
And it's the old Riz King. It's Tom Atkins. Friday the 29th, Dr. Chalice is at a bar where an ad for Halloween plays The Immortal Classic. Followed by the big giveaway for Silver Shamrock.
Yay.
And a Silver Shamrock ad plays on TV. The man's daughter, Ellie Greenbridge, walks in and introduces herself to Dan. And it's this really awkward thing where she's like, "Dr. Chalice, I'm Ellie Greenbridge." And he's like, "I know who you are." And he's like, "I'm Dan Chalice." And she's like, "I know."
All right. Well, if we both know each other, why do we introduce ourselves?
I don't think it's like that awkward, but it's pretty dang close.
And of course, we know what's going to happen between them, Jay.
Oh, you know it. Dan tells her about the mask and what her dad said, and basically that he wants answers for what happened at the hospital. Ellie takes him to her dad's shop and tells him what she's found, that her dad had run into trouble in Santa Mira, where they make the Silver Shamrock masks.
Which is a reference to Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the director's favorite movie, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yes. It's the town that Invasion of the Body Snatchers takes place in.
Oh, very cool. I had no idea. That's awesome. Dan and Ellie drive to Santa Mira, where they learn that Connell Cochran turned Santa Mira into the headquarters of Silver Shamrock. And Ellie says, "Irish Halloween masks?" Incredulously. Like, she doesn't believe that the Irish would have anything to do with Halloween.
Oh, no. What, pagan festivals in Ireland? Oh, and also, Jay, this reveals the true insidious villain behind the Halloween franchise the entire time. And often a real-life villain, the Irish.
As they drive through town, everyone just stares at them. And there's even, like, we even see cameras, like, following their movements.
Creepy.
They get a room at a local motel, and Dan is able to kind of sneak away and confirm that Ellie's dad had been there at some point in time. Connell Cochran drives by, which makes the the motel owner stop what he's doing and wave. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really, it's very strange. Like, he's like, there goes the greatest man I've ever met. Like, just stopping, like, his conversation in mid-sentence.
Well, you know, Jay, it's just some guys are so great.
Camper pulls in, and it is owned by the Kupfers, who are looking for a room. And then also a lady arrives, and she's mad that her order got screwed up, and that's why she has to stay in Santa Mira. Mm. Dan and Ellie hook up after only knowing each other for a couple hours.
Well.
Where Dan's like, I could sleep on the floor. I could sleep in the car. You know, I could get a second room. And Ellie's like, don't you think that would be suspicious? And he's like, well, I'm just saying, like, I could sleep other places. And she's like, where do you want to sleep, Dr. Chalice?
Mm-hmm.
And then they start kissing.
Well, it'll never beat his all-time record. Because I think he sleeps with Jamie Lee Curtis in, like, 2 minutes in the fog.
Pretty much, yeah. At 6 p.m., we get a the curfew was declared in the town, and the residents are told to stay inside. This is one of our Jamie Lee Curtis cameos. And we kind of get, just the whole town kind of shutting down at this announcement. Yeah. Which is then weird, because then... Dr. Chalice is literally able to just walk down to, like, the liquor store on the corner, even though there's a curfew.
Jay, you need to know something. People don't stop Tom Atkins from drinking.
True.
Not ever. Doesn't matter what the situation is.
He runs into a homeless man who says that Cochran ruined the town. You know, he grew up in this town, and that basically he imported all the workers, which, you know, it's because they're all robots. the homeless man gets confronted by two men in suits and says, I was just kidding, as he talked about. I think he talked about burning down the factory for Halloween. Yeah. And one of the men in the suits rips his head off with his bare hands. And we get a really neat, like, blood spray out of his neck.
Indeed.
At the motel, Ellie meets the lady who is complaining about her order getting screwed up. We learn her name is Marge Guffman. Dan calls Teddy the coroner, who complains because all they found in the car wreck or the car explosion have just been, like, metal shavings and, like, different metallic parts.
Mm-hmm.
No human parts, all metal.
Weird.
Dan and Ellie fuck.
Of course.
Well, hold on, it's Tom Atkins. He doesn't fuck. He makes love.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Marge Guffman is in the next room fiddling with the silver shamrock pin that fell off of a mask. And she, like, hits something on something. It causes a laser to shoot out that mutilates her face and, like, curls back her lips. Like, her lips are all peeled back and bugs start crawling out of her mouth.
Disgusting.
So cool.
Yeah, I believe it's called a misfire by the Silver Shamrock technicians later.
Yep, that's absolutely what they call it. Dan wakes up and we see Tom Atkins' butt for a second as a bunch of men in lab coats take Marge away. What hospital are you going to take her to? Oh, we're taking her to Silver Shamrock, where she'll receive the best care. You know, Silver Shamrock toys.
Yes. Obviously. Well, they have sets, Jay. You could play with doctor's toys.
Noted for their famous medical care at this toy shop.
They're going to break out one of those baby's first chemistry sets and make some medicine for her.
Yeah, this is where Mr. Cochran refers to what happened as a misfire. It's now Saturday the 30th. Teddy tells Dan that there are no human remains in the car wreckage and it's all just metal.
Why?
Dan and Ellie go to the factory where they confirm that Ellie's dad had picked up an order and left. The Kupfers then arrive and we learn that he was, like, the top Silver Shamrock mask seller in all of America. And this was like a reward to get to see, to kind of get a trip and to see where the masks are made. And, you know, being, you know, Mr. Kupfer, I guess, thinks Dan and Ellie are his friends. So he invites them along on the tour as well. Connell Cochran gives Buddy Kupfer a mask, but it has to be one that's been through final processing, something that makes Dan suspicious, as well as men in suits standing all around the factory. And this is also where we learn that, like, Mr. Cochran had basically made his fortune making, like, really intricate, like, animatronic toys that kind of ran on their own, like, kind of wind-up toys and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie notices as they are leaving that they are hiding her dad's car in the factory, and three men in suits kind of surround her and stop her from advancing. Back at the motel, Dan tries to call the cops, but it keeps getting disconnected, and this we hear the operator tone, and this is where we get our second Jamie Lee Curtis cameo. And Ellie packs so they can flee, but when Dan gets back, Ellie is gone, and five men in suits give chase to Dan throughout the town.
Oh, no.
Ellie has been kidnapped and taken into the factory. Dan makes his way in and finds an old woman knitting. He asks her questions, but she doesn't answer. And when he kind of like goes to like get a response, her head falls off. And it turns out she's just like a giant clockwork automaton. Like the toys that Mr. Cochran used to make.
Crazy.
A man in a suit grabs Dan, who tries fighting, fighting the guy first, but the guy's just way too strong for him. And then Dan like punches him in the gut, which causes a bunch of like yellow goop to both pour out of the hole in his stomach and out of his mouth. And then he also pulls like a bunch of wires out of the guy's body.
So they're revealed to be fracking Cylons.
Yeah, it's almost like they're all automatons.
Yeah.
Dan is taken hostage by Mr. Cochran, and he says, "It's Halloween morning, a busy day for me."
God, I love him so much.
Mr. Cochran reveals that he stole the stone from Stonehenge.
It was me, Mr. Bond. I stole Stonehenge.
They're mining it and putting chips in the buttons of the masks.
Yes, Jay, obviously. You didn't understand this?
And that it has something to do with the Samhain Festival.
Yes, Jay.
And a sacrifice for Samhain.
People have forgotten that Halloween is supposed to be about sacrifice to protect us from evil spirits the rest of the year. It's not supposed to be about walking around and getting candy.
So this is going to be his greatest sacrifice.
Ah, yes.
He shows Dan a demonstration, and we see Buddy Kupfer and his family go into a room. He puts on his silver shamrock mask as the family's kind of sitting around. And the dad says something about, like, well, you know, like, something that's kind of bothering me is he's not taking my order. He, you know, for next year. Like, here I was his top salesman, and they have no interest in taking my order for next year.
Crazy.
And Buddy Kupfer puts the mask on, the commercial starts playing, or the silver shamrock thing starts playing, and then we notice, like, the flashing on the screen corresponds with the flashing on the button on the back of the mask, which then causes Buddy's face, like, mask to decay and melt. And then a bunch of bugs to pour out.
What? A kid dying in a horror movie? I thought that's something only Art the Clown was depraved enough to do.
And then I think his mom faints and like watches on in horror. Maybe has a heart attack. And the dad tries to escape, and like some of the snakes that poured out of Buddy's mouth start biting him and cause him to fall over and die.
Which to give the side of the story for Mr. Cochran, Jay, to play devil's advocate, that kid was annoying as fuck.
No, that wasn't annoying kid. A real Franklin. All over the country, we see kids playing, most of them wearing silver shamrock masks, including Dan's kids gathered in front of the TV. Teddy the coroner continues to investigate as a silver shamrock automaton attacks her and drills a hole into her head with a cordless drill. Dan is tied up, and Cochran reveals that he's sacrificing the children for Samhain. Yes. He puts a skull mask on Dan and turns on the TV as the timeless classic, the immortal classic, Halloween. It's the scene where, I believe it's the scene where Jamie Lee Curtis is like running from one house to the other.
Yep.
Plays on the TV. Dan is able to maneuver over to the TV and break the screen. And then he sets himself free by climbing through the air duct. And we get this great scene where he throws his mask on top of the security camera.
Yes.
Dan finds Ellie and sets her free as well. And they try to escape. Dan turns on the giveaway, and then they go to escape. And then he, as like the giveaway starts on the TV or whatever, in the room they're in, he kind of climbs up into the catwalks and tosses a bunch of silver shamrock pins down, which then causes them all to activate because the giveaway is going on the screen, which kills a bunch of people and blows up a bunch of the machinery.
Excellent.
And then the Stonehenge stone also reacts to this, killing Mr. Cochran and then exploding.
Yes. Like a massive explosion.
Dan and Ellie escape the town, and Dan realizes that Ellie hasn't spoken to him and is acting weird. Mm-hmm. She then attacks because she's been replaced with an automaton.
Oh my god.
Dan breaks off her arm and then her head with a tire iron, and then we get a scene where, like, he thinks he's okay, and then the arm he broke off attacks him, and then classic. He thinks he's okay again, and then the torso and remaining arm attack him.
Exactly. Classic robot fight. Gotta love it.
Dan makes his way to the gas station from the beginning of the movie and asks the attendant for the phone as he so he can call the networks to stop the broadcast. He is able to stop two broadcasts, but the third one continues to run as Dan yells into the phone, You've got to stop the third channel. As it continues to play, we then get an echo of him screaming, "Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!" And then the credits start to roll. End of movie.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, I forgot I could do this. Hold on. I don't know if it'll pick up well on the microphones, but...
Well, we'll find out. You're all welcome. Now you'll be singing it forever.
No, the Trick or Treat Studios put out this like blow mold of the pumpkin mask, and when you flip a switch, it plays the Silver Shamrock theme, and it was too cool to not buy.
Can you imagine just like a group of people all wearing those? How creepy that would be.
Oh, it'd be so creepy.
This the shape of this pumpkin mask is genuinely creepy.
I have one up there. Mm-hmm. I have one in the recording space, but. It's, you know, and it's the pumpkin, because the pumpkin, I think, is the most iconic of the three. Yep. But even that one, like, that one's very latex. The pumpkin one in the movie looks almost like a foam.
Yeah.
Or like it's like padded in some way.
Yeah, it does. It looks like it's almost cloth on the outside or something.
But no, they're such creepy masks. I love them so much.
But yeah. Gotta love this movie. I don't understand. I really don't get all the hate.
No, it's yeah. Me neither.
I mean, I don't understand why people get so hung up on the whole Michael Myers isn't in it thing. It's like, okay, well then just enjoy the movie for what it is.
It can't be a Halloween movie if Michael Myers isn't in it. Well, clearly it can.
I was going to say, lots of movies take place at Halloween without Michael Myers.
Yep.
I hate to break it to you guys. I don't recall seeing him in Trick or Treat, Jay.
Yep. Well, you know, Friday the 13th, you know. By that logic, then Friday the 13th Part 1 isn't really a Friday the 13th movie.
Right, like, there's no Jason.
Yep. He's in a dream sequence.
Well, and I mean, there's also Jason Goes to Hell, where he's in it for like 2 minutes at the very beginning before he gets shot up, and then he turns into the worm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, enough of that.
Where do you want to start off for our categories?
How Halloween-y is this movie?
All right, Halloween spirit. How Halloween-y is the movie? How Halloween-y are the kills? I had very high for both of them.
I did as well.
I mean, you've got, like I said, you've got the iconic masks. They're throughout the movie.
I mean, you can't get more Halloween-y on your kills than having Halloween masks kill people.
Yeah, you've got, literally the plot of the movie is children wearing Halloween masks that will wind up killing them.
Yes.
I think you've kind of got maybe not top tier like Halloween decorations. I certainly wouldn't say it's, you know, trick or treat level Halloween decorating.
No, as far as the setting goes, I'm going to have to give it a solid like middle of the road.
But I mean, it's still, you know, you've got the masks kind of littered throughout the movie. You know, when they turn on the TV, they constantly talk about how it's going to be Halloween, how Halloween is coming up. You know, they turn on the TV and, you know, there's literally an ad for John Yes. Carpenter's Halloween on the TV. Like, it's very, it scratches that itch, I think, if you're looking for a movie that feels super Halloween-y.
I agree.
But yeah, the kills are fantastic.
There's some great kills in this movie. Like, the one that still sticks out to me is the hospital kill. The very first time you see how strong the androids are when he crushes that guy's face.
Oh yeah, I think too, like the court is, or you know, Tom Atkins says something like, he didn't look very strong, and she's like, well, he must have been.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, he pulled his skull apart. Like, that takes some upper arm strength.
Yeah. Gotta be hitting the gym, bro.
Anyone you want to do next?
You want to do your favorite quotes?
All right, sure. Yeah, let's do, let's monster mash this. Favorite quotes. I've only got a couple. For a movie that I really, really like, there's not a ton of, like, iconic quotes, I felt. All right, so I've kind of got two. I've got, like, a really long kind of back and forth, and then I've just got one line. I've got, like, one line from the sheriff.
Okay.
So it's Dr. Chalice and Nurse Agnes, who's kind of the lead nurse. I could use a nap. Doctor's lounge is empty. Want to take one with me? This is Dr. Chalice, because, you know, it's Tom Atkins. And then Nurse Agnes goes, pillows are in the cabinet. There's milk and cookies in the fridge. And then Dr. Chalice goes, I think I should have married you, Agnes, and slaps her butt. Watch it, Buster. I play for keeps, you know, says Nurse Agnes. I'm serious, says Dr. Chalice.
One of my favorite Dr. Chalice lines is, it's getting late. I need a drink. as if he hasn't been drinking all day already.
As if Tom Atkins needs an excuse to get a drink.
Yeah.
The other one I have is, this is the sheriff that's investigating the murder-suicide. Some crazy man killed himself in the parking lot right after. Drugs, probably.
Of course, we have the iconic Silver Shamrock song, which, yep, I'm not going to curse you with.
Oh, name. Yeah. No, can't. Yeah. I mean, I think that is probably the most iconic thing from the movie. But.
One of the commercial announcements I had, it's time for the big giveaway. Halloween has come. All you lucky kids with Silver Shamrock masks, gather around your TV set. Put on your masks and watch. All witches, all skeletons, all jack-o'-lanterns, gather round and watch. Watch the magic pumpkin. Watch.
So good. Oh, man. And the magic pumpkin starts strobing on the TV, and that's what causes the buttons on the back of the masks to start reacting.
Yes.
Do you have anything else?
the amazing Connell Cochran, Jay. Gotta be the best Halloween villain, bar none. Michael Myers, get out of here. His quote, I do love a good joke, and this is the best ever. A joke on the children.
I
strongly identify with.
No, I was sitting there and I was like, because I'm watching, it'd been a couple of years since I'd watched Halloween 3. So, you know, I know what happens, but I'm kind of sitting there. I'm like, what's his big reasoning? And I'm like, is he going to tell me? And then, like, for a while there, I'm just sitting there. I was like, it's a joke? Is that what we're getting at? Then eventually he reveals kind of more. But I was, like, sitting there for a minute and I was like, is that it? It's a joke?
Yes, Ellie and Tom Atkins, of course, you mentioned this earlier, but she's like, Irish Halloween masks? And he's like, California, who knows?
who can believe the Irish would have anything to do with Halloween?
Yes, Jay, it's crazy. Do you think the Irish could ever celebrate any kind of pagan festivals?
Never.
Everybody knows they've been Catholic for their entire history.
All right, well, do you want to do Halloween decorations?
Yeah, let's do it.
Costumes, etc. First of all, the masks.
The masks are amazing.
Yep.
Gotta throw that out there.
Which is your favorite?
I lean towards the pumpkin one.
I think the pumpkin is the most iconic of the three. I think they're all iconic, but I think the pumpkin is the most iconic.
Honestly, I really like the skeleton, too.
The skeleton is very creepy.
Yeah.
When we were talking about Late Night with the Devil, and the skeleton in that, like, it kind of looks like the skeleton Silver Shamrock. It
does have that vibe. I mean, yeah, they're all good, but the skeleton really stands out to me.
I think, you know, and the witch, you know, the witch is nothing to sneeze at either. Like, the witch, the witch mask is very cool too.
Oh, speaking of sneezing, you remember that moment where the android sneezes?
Yeah.
And he's like, convincing, aren't they?
Yeah. every outfit Tom Atkins wears. I mean, it's
Tom Atkins.
I assume it's just Tom Atkins' wardrobe.
It's just what he showed up to set in.
He's like, I'm wearing this shirt today. All right, that's what Dr. Chalice is wearing. I think Santa Mira, I think not only like a great location, like right along the shore in Northern California, you know, you get kind of those beautiful views, but I also think it's like a great idea, like this small town where all the people are kind of watching you, and like it feels very claustrophobic. It feels very paranoid. Like I really do love that setting.
Oh, I forgot to mention this at the beginning, but you know how now the studios say that, oh, this was a huge misstep. You know, we never should have taken Michael Myers out of this franchise. At the time, John Carpenter said the only way he would return or have anything to do with Halloween was if it was completely different and had no Michael Myers. And the studio was like, yeah, that's cool. We're completely fine with that. And so then they go, they make this movie that has nothing to do with Michael Myers, and everybody's like, surprise Pikachu face, that there's no Michael Myers in it. I was like, what? What's happening?
You know, like, did you not pay? Does no one pay attention?
Apparently not, because they also gave John Carpenter final cut on the project. That would never happen today.
Last thing for me, I loved like the gore makeup effects. I loved Marge's face after getting blasted with the laser. Her lips are all like peeled back and like segmented almost.
So Tommy Lee Wallace only had he got assigned this project for the, he had to do the final rewrite and get everything ready to shoot. He had to start he got this assignment in mid-January. He had to be ready to start shooting on location in April, and they had to be done with post-production by the end of September.
Oh my.
And to get it out for Halloween. And so to meet that schedule, the special effects people only had 4 weeks to put this together. And this is what they did in 4 weeks.
And the special effects look awesome.
Yes, as I say, they still hold up to this day.
Like, you don't get it, you know, you don't get a ton of them, I would say. Like you know, it's very, this is, you know, it's not a special effects heavy movie, but when the special effects happen,
they're effective.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought I would just point that out, because it's like, now, you know, they do lazy CGI. It looks bad within a couple of years. This was made, what?
1982.
I'll say, what, we're going on 50 years ago now.
Yep.
And it still looks great.
No, it's fantastic. I like I said, I love this movie. This is my favorite
Halloween. It was something that they had to get done in a month.
No, oh my gosh. I mean, not enough good to say about this movie. These are kind of the things I think you and I wanted to highlight.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where does that put us? Burnt out jack-o'-lantern, brilliant jack-o'-lantern. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Well, my burnt out jack-o'-lantern wasn't really a problem with the movie itself. It was more a problem with the marketing. Because they basically did no marketing for this movie at all. They just are like, oh, it's Halloween 3. People will go see it. They should have publicized much better what it was about.
I agree.
I think that would have, like, probably reversed the entire problem that they had.
No, yeah, because, yeah, people are going thinking it's going to be a Michael Myers movie. Yes. Michael Myers isn't in it. I can understand in 1982... being yes. upset about that.
Well, and they blew their chance, because if you wanted to do this blind, have people go in not knowing what's going to happen, you should have done this in Halloween 2.
Agreed.
Like John Carpenter wanted to do in the yep. first place, because now you've established a pattern with two Michael Myers movies. People are expecting a third. But if you'd done Halloween and then you've done Halloween 2 and it was Season of the Witch, then people would be like, oh, so it's going to be a different story every time.
Yep.
And then
maybe someday we come back to Michael Myers and we get the yes. high-rise apartment story. See,
and that's the thing, is like, there was nothing saying you couldn't go back to Michael eventually, but why did you have to do it back to back to back to back,
right,
over and over again? It's like, it just doesn't make any sense from a box office perspective.
Mine is kind of a similar thing. My burnt out jack-o'-lantern is that I wish we'd gotten more of Halloween being an anthology movie. I wish we'd gotten more of that alongside of the Michael Myers story. You know, you could come back to it later and do more stories with it while still doing fun, new, interesting, inventive things. You know, the thing you said about like Hollywood saying this set Hollywood back or something like that. I kind of agree. I think it did the opposite. This kind of made Hollywood go, oh, remakes. That's what everybody wants. People want remakes and sequels. No, people want new and interesting ideas. Yes. Like,
I mean, that's why I responded so strongly to that Joe Bob comment about this is, after this failed, that set the Halloween franchise back on the right path. I'm like, I don't really think it did.
No, I want more of this.
Yes, I want more original ideas, you know, people taking risks, doing crazy stories. I don't want more of the same. And Tommy Lee Wallace, like I said, one of his favorite movies was Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And so he's like, I set out to make a pod movie, which he's referring to the pod people in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, not a stabbing movie. And he's like, I wanted to make it more of like a magical, you know, kind of fairy tale set at Halloween. Instead of just, you know, another, because by that point the market was becoming saturated with slashers.
Oh yeah, 1982, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like he wanted to do something to stand out and be different Which is like, that's totally understandable.
And I mean, I think he succeeded.
Yes.
Like, in a lot of ways.
No, I know. It's sad that he had to go through such a long period of people hating the movie, but I think it's kind of turned around in some circles now.
I think he wrote a book. I could be wrong, but I think he wrote a book about Halloween 3, and it's called, like, Why Isn't Michael in This One? It's like, Halloween 3, Why Isn't Michael in This One? Or something like that. How about Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern?
My Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern, I have to say, is the originality of the idea. It's kind of like what we loved about Trick or Treat. It's taking the essence of the holiday and using that to drive the plot. It's like, there's nothing more Halloween than getting on your Halloween mask and going out to get candy, which is the core plot of what's going to destroy everybody in the movie. And just, it adds in a lot of cool, fun things on top of it. Like, did it need the robot army of henchmen? Probably not, but it's cool to see, have it be fun Halloween thing.
Especially with the idea that they're like toys, yes, large toys. Yes,
they're just like, it's like the perfect, honestly, for a movie that's so violent towards children, I could see children really liking this movie. And I'm sure a lot probably did when they saw it for the first time. But, yeah, no, I just – and the whole bringing in, like, the ancient pagan mythology that Halloween is based on, the Samhain Festival, and bringing in a piece of Stonehenge every mask to do, like, an ancient – and they would bring – because, spoiler alert, folks, this isn't the last time you're going to see the druids in the Halloween franchise.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. I was going to mention that my favorite Michael Myers movie is Halloween 6, and it's – kind of, and that makes sense when you consider this is my favorite Halloween movie, because the druids are in that movie too.
And of course, I like it because it highlights the scourge of Earth, the Irish, Jay.
I like it because Paul Rudd's in it. Halloween 6. I like Halloween 3 because Tom Atkins is in it.
Ah.
And that's my Brilliant Jack-O-Lantern.
Tom Atkins is in it. How did I know you were going to say that?
It was the easiest thing to come up with. There's so many good things to say about this movie, but I was like, everyone knows what I'm going to say. Everyone knows I'm going to say Tom Atkins. He's great. He's great in everything he's in. He's always a blast. He's such a fun actor. And you see Tom Atkins in a movie, like, I'm always like, this movie's going to be good.
Well, you know, it's because Tom Atkins has fun with whatever role he plays. He actually likes being in these movies, so it actually shows through in his performance.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I can't wait till we do The Fog.
that's going to be great.
Oh, all right.
But, you know, it would have been so easy for them to just do a lame slasher movie and just capitalize on Michael Myers for a third time. And honestly, I've wondered quite a bit. Do you think Halloween would have continued as long as a franchise if they hadn't done this movie? Because this, like, sparked a huge interest in seeing Michael Myers return. If this had just been another Michael Myers movie, do you think it would have just continued its decline?
I think you're right. I think that probably would be the case.
Yeah, because there was already a downslope from 1 to 2, and if this had just been another Michael movie, people probably would have been like, okay, I think I've seen all this I want to see.
Yep. No, yeah, we might have gotten maybe if there was no 3, so 4 becomes 3, 5 becomes 4, yeah, we maybe would have gotten 4 Michael Myers movies, and then maybe we would have gotten some comeback years later.
Yeah, this sparked like a huge interest. Like, when's Michael going to be back? He wasn't in this one.
Like, maybe we would have still gotten like H2O, but I think that's about it.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to think about.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's move on to final rating. Every episode of The Horror for the Holidays 2024 Halloween Spooktacular.
The 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, Jay?
Caleb, but yes.
That's right, Caleb. It's the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
It is. And we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it seasonally spooky? Is it candy corny? Or is it 6 feet under? Jeff?
Seasonally spooky for me. It's got... I mean, as a great man once said, Jay, this movie plays a joke, a great joke, and it's on the children, which is my favorite kind of joke. I mean, it's got some scary stuff. It's got some blood and gore. It's got like an existential horror thing. It's got a bleak ending where you don't know if he was successful or not. I'm leaning towards he probably was not successful in stopping it. I mean, it's got Tom Atkins. I mean, what else do you need to say? I mean, it has great music from John Carpenter. I mean, he did a rewrite on the script, and I mean, it's made by like his protege, so it's got that John Carpenter flair to it from when he was in like his prime in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's not to like?
No, I completely agree. This is seasonally spooky. Like I said, this is my favorite Halloween movie. It's so much fun. It's everything you just said, and I mean, and more. It's just a delight of a movie. It's a unique idea. It's a different idea, and it just, you know, just like, you know, reading about Halloween 2 and reading the original idea for Halloween 2 makes me wish we had gotten Halloween 2. What, like, the original idea? This makes me wish we had gotten more anthology Halloween movies. We had seen these other ideas. We had seen these different things. This is just such a fun, unique, interesting idea. And I'd love to go back to this world. I'd love to know what happens, you know, with the fallout of that. And even in my mind, you know, the way, you know, you can even kind of connect this movie to Halloween 6. You mm-hmm. can even kind of go like, because of the whole druid thing and the thorn thing and whatnot, you know, you could even say, well, do you think Michael's mask was a silver shamrock mask? Well, like,
it's heavily implied because his mask is at the end of that commercial that he could have very well been also in a cursed mask.
Yep. That, you know, maybe a different curse, a different thing. But maybe he was possessed. Maybe that first clown mask was a silver shamrock mask. Like, there's a lot of things you could kind of look into and kind of go, oh, this, you can retroactively make this movie kind of fit. You can retcon this into the Halloween timeline if you want. But even on its own, this is a great standalone movie. You know, even if, you know, if you're just like, I want to watch Halloween anthology, watch Halloween 1 and then watch Halloween 3. Like,
maybe someday, Jay, when this podcast is wildly successful and we're rich enough to finance our own movie, we can do a Halloween anthology in the style of Halloween 3.
That'd be great. anyway, Jeff took a bite of that candy, took a bite of that sweet, that...
Jay, my gums are bleeding.
Yeah, there's a razor blade in it. Maybe we're wrong.
Oh, God. Do we really have to slug through this nonsense?
I mean, there's a lot of bad reviews of this movie. I figured maybe we grab like one or two each. I could go first. An experiment gone wrong. While the first Halloween movie was a real horror masterpiece, and the second was a moderately entertaining follow-up, wrong, it's very boring, Halloween 3 was a mistake, also wrong, it's great. The idea that the Halloween series would be about Halloween itself, telling a new creepy story each year, rather than centering around the characters of Michael Myers, Dr. Loomis, and any number of hapless victims. Unfortunately, the original story was so entrenched in people's minds that Halloween 3 failed miserably. Most people didn't understand Carpenter's premise at all, and although it was a very unique and clever idea, it was doomed for failure. Halloween 3 centers around a rogue corporation called Silver Shamrock that makes Halloween masks. The masks control the minds of people wearing them, which, no, they don't.
They don't.
When they view a weird psychedelic commercial on TV. As a whole, the idea behind Halloween 3 isn't bad at all. And although it could have been a much better movie, I don't know how it could have been. It suffers mainly from its title and the audience's expectations that go along with the title. Carpenter's idea to make each movie about a different Halloween ghost story probably would have worked out if he had not made Halloween 2, which he didn't make Halloween 2. He wrote the script.
Yes, he wrote Halloween 2.
As a sequel to the first Halloween, but instead used the Halloween 3 story and left the original alone, or perhaps revisited it later and made Halloween 5 and 6 show how Dr. Loomis kills Myers and then left it at that. But the way things worked out, people associated Halloween with Myers and Loomis, and that particular story was too much for this idea to work.
It's almost like people are stupid.
Yep.
And don't know what they should like.
Yeah, it's almost like this guy's wrong.
But it's almost like, you know, John Carpenter wrote the second one, and he made sure that it was a totally unambiguous ending where Michael dies, and yet still people are expecting him to come back.
And he absolutely hates the second one.
Yes.
I mean, we read that review a couple weeks ago where he's like, they paid me more money than God to write a sequel to a movie that didn't need a sequel. Like,
And yes, he made extra sure to show you his and Dr. Loomis's death on screen. It's like, this is over. The story is done. And people are still like, when Michael Myers coming back?
Yeah. I watched Halloween 2 and I went to Halloween 3 expecting to see Michael Myers. Yeah, I remember he died at the end, but I want Michael Myers again.
All right, Jay. This was by far the worst scary movie I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
While I may not have seen every scary movie, clearly you have not.
Clearly.
I've seen this garbage. How do you make a Halloween movie without Michael Myers? Just like this, actually. This is a pretty much perfect example of how you make one without Michael Myers. The creators should return the money to everyone who paid to see this movie. Nothing about this movie was good, not even the acting. 77 people found this helpful, Jay.
Jesus.
First of all, I don't know who you are, but you're disgusting. You disgust me.
All right, this is my last one. Absolutely the worst Halloween entry yet. This movie is terrible. Do not see it. It is bad. This movie has no Michael Myers, who has been replaced by some murderous toy maker out to kill all the kids in the U.S. on Halloween night. This movie could have been better, but it's not. Only see it if you absolutely positively have to see all the Halloween movies. Disagree. See this movie regardless. It's great. Otherwise, stay far away from this movie. As I said before, it is bad. It's almost like you can't separate the fact that it's a good movie from the fact that it doesn't have Michael Myers in it.
Yes. I mean, honestly, the only Halloween movies you should watch are 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And after that, I think you should just disregard the franchise.
Maybe check out 2018, but don't watch the two after.
I was just say, don't watch the two sequels. Otherwise, you're going to be very disappointed.
You can probably watch H2O. H2O is pretty solid.
If you want to.
H2O is the one that I think I said to you, like, H2O, I think you can kind of see some of that original idea for Halloween 2.
Yeah.
Kind of mixed in there.
Don't get me wrong. I like H2O, but it's not really essential to the franchise.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the worst horror movie I have ever watched. Again, you must not have watched very many. This and Jason X. I knew this would get under Jay's skin.
Oh, Jason X is great.
I consider it one of the best Jason movies, but
it's one of my favorites.
That and Jason versus Carrie. But its plot doesn't match with the plot line. I mean, it's pretty much perfectly does, but whatever.
Once again, Michael dies at the end of two. It absolutely matches with the plot line.
It is boring and lacks any form of action. Apparently, people being murdered and people lighting themselves on fire and kids' heads exploding into bugs is an action, Jay.
And Tom Atkins running around yelling at people is an action.
And I wouldn't even classify this as horror. Well, if you wouldn't classify this as horror, what exactly would you classify it as?
This is sci-fi? I mean,
it would still be a sci-fi horror, right, even if you were going to do that. I mean, he's murdering children with Halloween masks.
It's very clearly body horror stuff. Like,
Halloween 3 was boring and slow and hard to follow. Really? Hard to follow. I'm thinking some of these people might just be stupid.
It's certainly not like slow. This movie's a quick hour and a half.
Yeah, it pretty much goes along at a pretty good pace. If they wanted to be done with Michael Myers, then why make several more Halloween movies? Well, it's because people didn't go see this because Michael Myers wasn't in it. So then they were like, oh shit, if we want to keep making money, we got to put Michael Myers back in it. Because they did want to be done with Michael Myers.
It's like in Friday the 13th Part 4 being like, you know, what... Oh, what is it? Is it Jason Dies or something like that? The final chapter, yes. Like, that's supposed to be the end of it.
It was going to be the end, but then that movie, which I still don't get to this day, did so much business that they were like, well, we can't kill Jason now. He got Michael Myers. He got resurrected because the box office was too much. Then why make several more Halloween movies? Just leave it alone after the second one. Then they would have been finished with Michael. That was literally the point.
Yeah, that's the whole point, my dude.
Worst of the lot. Horrible effects. As if their midlifer doctor / young woman or filler bits, Cochran's evil character merits one star. Not keen on killing the tots, though. If that was English, Jay, I'm not sure exactly how to translate
it. Yeah, I have no idea what some of those things meant.
This movie was terrible. It has a bad plot and overall bad acting. The ending was terrible. It made no sense and has nothing to do with the other Halloween movies.
You're right, because it's not supposed to.
Disappointed. Nothing like the first two. We had a viewing party and lost all interest within the first half hour.
That's on you guys.
Yep. Y'all saying that this movie is good, even though it doesn't have Michael Myers, are tripping. This is not a good movie, and it has nothing to do with the franchise. Y'all make me sick.
You make me sick, random random person on the internet. This movie's great.
Oh, wait. I gotta do the last one. I found this one when I was digging around. Oh, here it is. Some old white dudes in a suit walking around as killing puppets was intriguing to people. That's why you can't trust people's opinions on movie. This is a one-star thing through and through, especially those that think this is original and smart. Movie was a complete waste of time and energy. I'll just keep pretending this movie never existed, thanks.
I hate people. Anyways.
Yes. I think we can come to the conclusion, Jay, that people are just really stupid, and anything that challenges what they're expecting to happen, they'll meet with, like, vitriol and hatred.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Well, Jeff, you want to take, do we want to say Connell Cochran, or do we want to say Silver Shamrock as a whole?
I think we should take Silver Shamrock as a whole.
All right. And put it on our trick-or-treat list.
I
was going to say it's a corporation and they're trying to murder at least a large thing of children. I would say maybe below Sam. Like, it's a different kind of power level altogether.
Yeah.
But like, Sam is the spirit of Halloween. He's the essence of Halloween. I don't think anything's going to usurp him from that point. He's unkillable.
Are we taking it as the corporation that's acting to do this? Or are we going to say that the evil of the power of Stonehenge is what we should put on the list?
I mean, I was thinking, that's why I was thinking, like, maybe Connell Cochran as the owner of the Silver Shamrock Factory. Like whatever his mastermind idea is. Mm. Like, I would say it's almost like a worldwide level threat.
Yeah. No, I think it's above whatever was happening in the children, Jay.
Right.
So, on our Halloween list, I would say below Sam, yes, because he's an immortal, unkillable manifestation of the holiday. But I would say, like, only just below.
Right. And so, yeah, then, like, above Pumpkinhead.
Yes.
And,
Pumpkinhead only threatens small groups of people at a time.
Right. And, later on, certainly, we'll probably move Michael and Art the Clown above Pumpkinhead, I'm sure. But
well, we'll have to see, Jay. We still got three more Pumpkinhead movies to get through.
You're right. We do. Well, Jeff, it's time. As we're rounding down, we got one last thing to do. It's time for a little segment we like to call
Garbage Day.
Huh?
No.
Well, Jeff, it's time for our Horror for the Holidays Garbage Day annual trip to Burger King to be disappointed.
Yep. I mean, is there any other kind of trip to Burger King, Jay?
When they announced the Addams Family meal, I'm a little confused. It is the advertising for the animated movies.
Yes.
But we haven't had one of those in, what, like 3 years?
I think this is just because they're doing it as a Wednesday tie-in, obviously. I think it's just they're using leftover promotional packaging they had from the last Addams Family movie. It's like sitting in a warehouse somewhere.
But we weren't able to get the Morticia's kooky shake because the shake machine wasn't working.
Yeah, local Burger King shake machine wasn't kooky enough.
And then we cut it. We opened up our Wednesday Whopper, the purple Whopper we're supposed to get, and it's a regular fucking Whopper. This is a bad episode.
This is shaping up to be a shit episode.
But we do have Gomez's churro fries and some thing rings. So
I guess let's try them.
Yeah, let's dig in. I guess. Oh, and we got some zesty sauce and some chocolate dip or whatever.
Well, we got to try a dip of the zesty sauce. Otherwise, are they really even thing rings?
I do like the thing ring box. Yes, I like the
containers are pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the little thing hand.
I was impressed with the Wednesday Whopper wrapper until I figured I was just a regular fucking Whopper. Right. Is it going to be horseradish sauce? I think so.
That's not bad.
No.
I think that's the bog standard All right, it, you know, I don't think it's the, I think it's the regular Burger King onion ring. But
yeah, it's definitely the, I think it's a horseradish sauce, kind of like the Bloomin' Onion sauce at Outback. It's pretty much what it is. But it's actually the Thing's zesty sauce. Not Ben Grimm, by the way. The Addams Family.
The Gomez churro fries, they're like chicken fries. It's a chicken fry kind of container. Dipping in chocolate bewitches me.
Well, let's see if it bewitches us, Jay. Got a feeling it won't, but we could try.
All right.
Oh, all right, let's get bewitched. I mean, the chocolate sauce tastes pretty much like Hershey's chocolate syrup. The churros aren't bad.
No, I think those churro fries are really, really good.
I like them. Well, Jay, do you want to review the cheesy tots we got that's not actually part of the Addams Family meal?
Oh, yeah, we thought the cheesy tots were part of the Addams Family meal. They're not.
I mean, either that or they are, and they just didn't give us the right package. Because they gave us the Wednesday Whopper package, but no Purple Whopper, so who knows what the fuck's going on.
And they, you know, they had the wherewithal to tell us everything else, but then they don't tell us that this is the wrong Whopper. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, I mean, they would have just been like, we're out of the Purple Bun. And just be like, all right, then forget the Whopper.
Yep.
We all know what a Whopper tastes like. Worse over the years. All right, well, I think I'm ready to rate, if you are.
Yeah, the cheesy potato bites, those were all right. I'm fuck it, I'll take a bite of the Whopper. Why not?
All right, Jay's going in for it. I guess I'll try a little bit.
I'm not gonna like it.
I'm not happy about this.
This is under protest, Burger King. You and Dude Dad can rot in hell.
Fucking Dude Dad. The thing doesn't even look all the way cooked. Yeah.
It sucks.
It's bad.
Yep.
Real bad. It doesn't even taste like a hamburger.
All right. Well, I think Whopper's bottom.
Yeah, regular Burger King Whopper bottom tier.
Because we didn't get to try the Wednesday Whopper.
As always.
I guess the shake's even lower than that because we didn't even get a shake.
We didn't even get to see the wrapper for that. I would say probably next, the Cheesy Tots.
Yeah.
And then the Thing rings with the zesty sauce.
I agree.
And churro fries top.
Yep, absolutely. And now I'm right with you there on every single thing.
Yep.
Real disappointing end to the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
Yeah, this 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular has not been what I expected it to be, Jay.
Caleb.
Are we still doing that?
Okay. That bit continues.
I'm sorry. This 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular is not really what I expected, Caleb.
Thank you. agreed. Yeah, this is kind of a letdown. Well, we're probably gonna take a week to recuperate.
Yeah.
No stocking stuffer next week.
I mean, we got a lot of stuff to do during Halloween week. We're two of the spookiest people on the earth. So.
Yeah. So we'll. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll reveal our movie now. We're going to do It's a Wonderful Knife. That's what the wheel decided. That's what we're doing.
And then you want to give them a little teaser, Jay?
And then for Thanksgiving, we'll follow it up with our first... our It's a Wonderful Knife was one of the first movies we did on Stocking Stuffer. And for 2 weeks after that, we're going to follow it up with the other movie we did on that Stocking Stuffer, Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving.
Or around it.
Yeah, it's going to be close. Yeah. It'll be close.
Anyway, but yeah, that's...
So yeah, the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular is sadly at a close. Ending on a sour note, thanks to Burger King.
Yeah, but who knows what'll happen next year for the 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
The 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular? I believe. I mean, we know what at least three of those movies are going to be.
Halloween 4, Terrifier 2, Pumpkinhead 3, some WNUF thing. We'll have one new movie, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see. We might be able to find another sequel.
Yeah. We'll see what we can do.
We'll do Halloween 4, we'll do Halloween 4 and 5.
Oh, kill me now. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email. We are at horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Yes. We are on social media, all the places. We are at horror4holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe bell. Hit the like button. Leave us comments. Let us know what you'd like to see on stocking stuffer episodes. Let us know how stupid and fat we are. Let us know that we were fools for ever having any kind of faith in Burger King.
And let us know how Burger King's disappointed you in the past.
I mean, we know there's got to be a lot of those stories out there, Caleb.
So. Leave us a review on your podcatcher choice. 5 stars. This podcast sucks. These guys are terrible. We'll only read your bad reviews if they're 5-star reviews.
Yeah,
tell a friend also.
Yes, that would help. If you know any really, really dumb reviews of good movies, forward those to us.
Yeah. Jeff will love that.
I love that.
Otherwise, lastly, we are part of the Christmas Podcast Network. We are currently, I think, winding down for
the Red Sled Fund.
Yeah, for the Red Sled Foundation for the ornament purchase. Be part of the Kringle Crew. The deets are on my on the Instagram page.
Yes.
At Horror 4 Holidays, Horror the number 4 Holidays.
Ornament's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it looks neat. If you feel like pitching in, making a difference and whatever it is the Red Sled Foundation does. Here we are. They just tell us what to promote. We should probably research it. What if it's like the Red Sled Foundation, you know, murders reindeer? And
they provide gifts to terminally ill children.
Oh, there you go. See, something Christmas good. Time. Yeah. If you want to help with that, do that. What if they did something terrible?
J-Log's out here promoting a foundation he doesn't even know about.
Yeah. Well, what else is new? I just say whatever comes into my mind.
Classic Caleb.
That's how we wind up with this podcast in general.
Yep. That's pretty much how this happened.
Anyways, so thus closes another chapter of the Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular. But it'll be back next year.
It will.
Stronger and better than it was before. Probably the same, maybe worse.
It rises again, harder and stronger. What is dead may never die. What was never a good podcast may not get worse.
But might not also get better.
But anyways. Yes, thank you all for joining us for the 2024 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular. And we will see you again in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Forever.
In the crib, late at night. Monster Gruber, what a fright. The goblins ask, oh so grand, with vampires leading the band. Dracula waltz with Gruber to blow. It was a happening monster show. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Got on in a flash.